Welcome back to Tag Team, the Pokemon Trading Card Games premier podcasting trio. However, we are sans a man. Riley is out on... what's he doing? Work, Andrew?
I don't know, man. I'm going to keep score, though, okay? Because I'm feeling like I've earned an attendance award lately.
Yeah,
I had
you
one
have,
week
you
in
have.
Brazil, but...
You've been great. You've been great. You've been
I deserve
the rock... It's kind of funny, right? We bring Andrew on, and then all of a sudden, Riley and I just kind of like, peace out. Hey, man, just keep the cast
and
going
I,
for us, why don't you?
It's like, and I got on to the cast with the understanding that, like, oh, well, you know, maybe it's an every other week kind of thing. You know, I could trade off with Riley. And then as soon as I got in, I realized very quickly that, like, you guys have been running the cast for years, you know, every single Wednesday. And we're very thankful to take Wednesdays off.
No, you like it though. You like it. Come
on.
I
do. Yeah. I do. But I realized quickly that my attendance was very necessary.
Well, so what would happen often when Riley was gone? Because this was actually, you know, now that he got kind of a promotion or whatever, and he's going on-site visits, which was a fairly new development. I would have to, we'd either like record earlier in the week, or I would start to bring on like guests and do, you know, kind of panel discussions, and, you know, I'd have to get more creative. So I had a lot of work that I had to do when Riley was gone. So now, you know, you're here.
Yeah. Easy peasy. Yeah.
Easy peasy. Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
For sure. No, and I'm really thankful to be you know, to be able to do this every week. It really is a lot of fun. But this week, what do we got going on? How you doing?
Dude, I'm doing okay. Work sucks. No, work is great. Love work. Love having a job. Love being employed.
So thankful for work.
So thankful for work. What a blessing. I've managed to spend my tournament winnings for this season.
Oh,
on
right, yeah.
My attic. So
yes,
that is coming
not
along.
Just we an put, attic.
Yes, it is. We put up the drywall and the insulation. So next is the flooring. We had this unused, like, habitable space in the attic. Had
right. Well, I feel
ceilings.
Like it's almost a misnomer to call it an attic because it really is like a large, almost like third floor, like kind of room kind of space,
right? Yeah, it's a room. Yeah,
it's like a room,
for sure.
You know, with a little bit of like an angled ceiling, but like it's a room.
Yeah, it's a room. So we have finished that out. We have contractors out here. Good friend of ours from church is working on the attic. So that's great for a number of reasons, because one, it's like we get to access to this new space. And then two, we get to pay somebody that we know that, you know, certainly like is, you know, maybe not hurting for the money, but it always helps, you know, certainly at this time of year. So
supporting small businesses is good. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a win-win.
And supporting
but it's a
the workforce.
That's,
yes.
I know. Yeah.
It's great. And also, I mean, because, you know, you got Harper and then, you know, another kid on the way. And, you know, just thinking about play spaces. Yes. Right?
Oh, shit.
Yes.
Holy.
Oh, that's right. Oh. Yes. But as far as, like, play spaces go, I remember, you know, some of the other times you had kind of like a little play mat set up in, like, your foyer area. You know, your living room's pretty condensed. It's not really a lot of space there. You know, so as far as like good spaces for like the kids to romp around, I feel like probably
that is going to be premier.
Yeah,
quality,
that's what that was the
quality.
Idea, right?
But even also for the adults, I think.
Yeah, right.
I think
just
it'll be
it's
great
like
space
a,
for
yeah
for adults to romp around in as well.
Yeah, just a good space.
Like the cubes will go crazy up there.
Oh yeah, there you go. The cubes.
How you been?
So. I'm doing well. I am.
You didn't say you were doing well before.
I'm doing well now. I was. I had a little bit of a rough last week because I, you know, was a little under the weather, congested, just, you know, a little bit of a cough, sore throat, and I just like couldn't. I had a hard time working. My studio was freezing last week. I mean, it was cold last week, and my studio just has like no insulation, no heating. It's just miserable. The space heater I have doesn't do nearly enough. You know, and Full Grip is the building is like very much in flux. It's like an under construction. We got a lot of projects going on right now. I'm probably not going to be in the same exact studio space that I'm in right now this time next year, because we are doing like a $500,000 renovation on the building in this upcoming year. And a lot of things are going to get juggled around, which is going to involve like the creation of a play space, not just a play space, a tournament hall, which can host like multiple hundred player tournaments. The idea is to eventually have our own like kind of circuit series thing going on. So a lot of projects on the horizon. But with that, sometimes you have to sacrifice in the meantime to get to that end goal. And right now, I mean, my studio is beautiful. I love the setup that I have and the space, but man, it is cold. And in the summers, it is hot. So working has been really tough right now. Jameson came into my office the other day. I had a Snuggie on at the computer, you know, editing video. And he's like, he's so apologetic. He's like, I know it's bad, man. I know it's bad. You know, it's something that we're working on. And I felt, you know, I'm working on my LAIC vlog. I'm really excited about that, but couldn't record lines. Couldn't do hardly anything. And then TCG Live, I'm just not feeling, man, the content on TCG Live is just not inspiring. You know, I feel like I do it because I have to, but it's not like what's getting me out of bed in the morning. Not like, yeah, I get to pump out another TCG Live video. It's more like I'm doing that to pay the bills because enough people like watching it apparently that it kind of needs to get done. But
don't let your audience hear this.
No, they can hear it. That's okay. I mean, it is what it is. They you watch
just,
me on stream
I mean,
every day.
You're just clocking in.
You
well,
know
I don't.
The struggle. You
I
know
don't,
the struggle.
Though. That's the thing. I don't. But
people who watch me on stream know the struggle. They see it every day. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, that's not. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean not that I wouldn't. I can't. You know.
You work.
I'm working. I don't know if anyone else does that, but you know, I certainly.
So,
need to
so I'm doing okay. I'm doing better now. I was really excited to get Joe on, and we did a TCG Classic stream. That was really cool. And I got to like open it and produce it. And I was kind of like thinking to myself, you know, because Joe, we got this buddy Ben who like goes to our local league who just bought the Classic and opened it and like was playing it, right? With like Zeely.
That's so
and,
sick.
And he was just, and Joe, and they were just playing
time.
It. And then they like asked me, they were like, hey, do you want to borrow our Classic to like play it? And I was like, well yeah, I guess. It's like, you know, it's a $400 freaking box set. Like, yeah, I want to borrow and play it.
Yeah.
And then as I was thinking about it more, I was like, well, I should make this into like a whole shebang. Like we should open the box, do like a presentation of the cards that are inside, the most expensive product ever created by the Pokemon company, and then show off like some gameplay. Like we should just do the whole thing. And it's like, you know, I'm in a unique position where it's like, that's my job to do that. Like, I don't know too many other content creators who are going to go through the effort to, like, to do that, to make, like, the box set really look nice and kind of show it off.
Right.
And show off what it is from, like, a gameplay standpoint, not just a, like, here's my pretty Charizard standpoint.
Right.
So I was like, that's kind of, like, that's my thing. Okay, I should do this. So then I kind of felt, like, inspired to create that content. And it was a lot of fun. And I had a good time doing it. So
that's sick. And I guess apparently it takes you away from TCG Live, which I don't know about our listeners, but that's my favorite game of all time.
Oh yeah.
So interesting.
Name something you like about it.
The animations.
It's so good.
Name a woman.
My wife.
There you go. Okay. Well, that it's funny how that answer came a lot quicker.
Yeah.
But you know, it's gotten better, right? Can't we say that? Can't we say that?
No. I think like there are some things that are okay about it sometimes, you know, but you know, I think like, you know, someone came into my stream the other day and was like, are you getting used to the TCG Live user interface yet? You liking it, you know? And it's like, no, just because I'm, you know, just because I use it and I don't complain about it every second of every day, like that's just now we're just in the coping stage. Like, no,
yeah.
I loathe it. I think it's horrible. You know, you could
be
if
so
you're forced
much...
to, if you're forced to listen to nails on a chalkboard every day, like you may eventually, like the sound may dull to you eventually, but that doesn't mean that it's not a ratchet sound. Like that no human should be subjected to. Okay. Like,
sure.
You know, it's still a ratchet sound happening. It's just because it's dulled to you because it's been going on in the background for so long. It's like, no, it's still bad. And I realized like I'm less invested in the game in front of me when I'm playing, and I'm more invested in chat and like, and I play worse, right? Because I don't want to be dialed in to like, because it like hurts, you know, my mind to be dialed into it. So I'm more invested in chat and kind of just like joking around and chatting around. And so I play worse, and it degrades the whole production, which really makes me sad. But yeah, you know, we keep it trucking. So
that's how it goes. Yeah. Got to clock in, clock out, put on your hard hat, grab your lunch pail, get to work.
That's right.
You know, the people need Pokemon content.
That's right.
And that's what we're here today to do. We got some talk. I mean, it's going to be a meta discussion, but I wanted to just first ask, like, what tournaments are you going to? What's the rest of your season look like? I did not get into Knoxville Regionals. That was the regional that I was planning to go to in the latter portion of the season. I got like you said earlier, you reminded me, I got another baby coming. That is coming the week of Indianapolis. So I was like, before the season started, I was like, oh yeah, Indy's an easy one that I'm definitely easy going layup. To.
Nope.
Gnar. Got a chance now. And then, so Knoxville was, I was kind of aiming, okay, that's my drivable regional that's pre-baby. I didn't even make it into Reg. They had 1,200 spots open. It's crazy. It's crazy. Sure, 1,200 spots?
Yeah. And it just filled up like that.
I know.
Said, like, it was sold out in minutes, right?
I mean, I was there at 8:01. Okay, so I wasn't there right at 8, and I'll give myself like you know, grace for that, but I was there at 8:01, clicked the buttons, and you know, and still
no
missed.
Shot, no
and
shot.
And then
yeah.
And then I was back at 8:15, like just did another couple passes. No chance. Yeah, it was rough.
Yeah. Yeah, I was lucky enough to get in, so I am.
No,
I'm
no, no,
for that.
No. Say what it really was. Say what it really was.
What do you mean?
You were lucky to get in.
Uh-huh.
You? Oh yeah, you did the work.
Oh, well, you know, it's a team effort. Family, you know, the family business.
The family business.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
no, Natalie, not to peek behind the curtain, if you don't already know, Andrew doesn't register for his own tournaments.
It's not true. I
he pushes
have.
It all on his wife. All that, you know,
that's
all that work.
It's a team effort. So, I mean, you know your strengths and your weaknesses, right? And organization is not mine. So, that's you know, and I carry my weight in a lot of ways. I certainly do. But, you know, not to mention it also has become somewhat a skill thing, getting in. And at this point, you know, she's really freaking good at it. So
that's half the battle, dude. How
does
she do
it? That's what I'm saying. She's a wizard. And if I revealed my secret,
too,
then I might
it's
not.
It's like, it's going to be
the. If
like,
I revealed my, if I revealed the secrets, the family secrets, then, you know.
Yeah, that's fair. She's got like four browser tabs. She's looking like those guys you see. Like, remember when Pokemon Go was like so insane and they'd have like 10 phones all tethered together? Mm-hmm. And yeah, uh-huh. It's something like that. I know something screwy is going on, so.
So it's like, well, there's certain best practices that you could do to like kind of help, but like that's the thing. And it's like, and you know, it's such a tough thing to get into these events now. And it's like, you know, some of them are easy. One with 1,200 seats, you know, that's not going to be easy.
Not in America.
You know? No.
That might fly in Europe or Australia, but.
Oh, yeah.
Not here.
Not here, not in the Midwest. No, wouldn't fly in Japan either, right? I mean, they have a lottery system over there,
right?
So, like,
Japan,
I
yeah.
I think we're like in a, you know, we're in a little bit of a growth period with the Pokemon trading card game, where we're kind of figuring out, you know, what the expectation is for future, you know, event size, and tournament organizers are needing to get to a point where they can reasonably accommodate that. You know, RK9 is. Trying to figure out, you know, what is the best way,
like the
to
happy medium.
Serve the Pokemon
yeah,
community.
Because I know that Carlos Perot is the person who runs Arcanine, and he's talked a lot about do we do a full lottery system, which I think a lot of players would be disappointed about, or do we do a full, you know, first come, first serve, which actually mm-hmm. has some like technical limitations to it.
Oh yeah.
You know, if you just look at, let's give a great example, the Ticketmaster Taylor Swift debacle that just happened, where it was like, okay, we have millions of people trying to get tickets at once, and then it just crashes the entire system. So, you know, there's this kind of duality here that if you put it all in one direction, you know, certain parties would be unhappy, and if you put it all on the other end of the spectrum, other parties would be unhappy. So, I don't know. I still don't love the happy medium, to be quite honest, but I just don't think that, you know, it really makes sense to be on one extreme or the other.
Kind of, yeah. I don't know. To me, it seems like, you know, if people are unhappy, the only real solution that makes sense is the lottery. You know, just the pure lottery. Like, if you're not happy with this, then lottery it is. What else do you got? Like, merit-based? Like, that's not fair to new players, right? You know? So
I don't care.
You can't. Of course you don't care, GW. Yes.
It's not that I don't care about the new players. It's that it would benefit
like. That's
me.
What it seemed like.
It would benefit me. It would benefit me. Okay. So that's.
Oh, because what it seemed
would
like.
Not, I would care if it was that way.
See,
because
I care. I care about new players. I do.
Right. So you're. Andrew, that's why. Yeah. You know, you're in such a position as you are in.
But. So I did. I got into. You know, got very into nice. Knoxville. And the rest of my season looked like this. I'm going to San Antonio. And then I'm signed up for Portland, but I'm actually not going to end up going. I just have some stuff going on in the beginning of the month there. I decided to just, you know, cancel that one. And I will go to Charlotte instead. And so I got San Antonio, Charlotte, probably go to Knoxville. Well, I guess I will, yeah, because I signed up. So, yeah, I'm going to go to Knoxville. And then probably EUIC, probably, you know, hop on a plane, try to get in, do that. And then, you know, maybe I'll mess around and do LA, Orlando, and Indy. So, I don't know. Going to be busy.
Yeah, Orlando, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll be busy. I'll be busy for sure, you know. And so I'm not really skipping too much. Like, I probably won't go to Vancouver just because... You know, it's on the other side of the country, and we'll kind of see where my season's at that point. And I'm not going to go to Portland this year because I went to Portland last year, and there's no real need to push it. It's just they're not the easiest flights. Whereas, like, a flight to Orlando, like, it's mad easy. Yeah. I get a direct flight to Orlando.
It's $100.
Yeah, yeah. So that one's no big deal at all. And for you, you said without Knoxville, what, it's like NAIC and...
I mean, I don't know. Like, I would love to go to NAIC. I because the internationals are so crazy with the payout, you know, and the just how little you have to do relative to how much you can earn.
Dude, I know
because
I was
crazy.
Staying,
that
I
is
was
the
staying.
Yes,
with,
I know
with Caleb's group in them, and it's like, and they were all like, we all did bad, right? And they all finished top 64. I did top 64 at EUIC last year, and I was like, you know, this isn't a great finish.
Yeah.
And I got $500 last year. They got $2,000 for top 64 this
I know.
Year. $2,000.
$2,000. It's crazy. I mean, the ICs, like, if I was a single dude and I had no responsibilities, I would prioritize making it out to the ICs because those are the ways that if you're going to make your money back, you know, outside of being able to, like, drive to your close regionals, like, it's going to be at the ICs, right? And you're going to get the most points. You're going to, you know... have the most opportunity to like get some of that cost that you put in back. It's absurd. So yes, I would love to go to NAIC. We'll have to see because that's not driving distance anymore.
That's right. So, like, that's right in your backyard.
Yeah. I got to think about
pop on over to
gotta
New
think
Orleans.
About that travel there. So we'll see how that goes. It's I'd say 60% chance.
Are you saying there's a chance?
You know. Oh, I mean, I'd take a 60-40 matchup.
Yeah, we take those every day.
Right? All the time. For so, sure. You know, so for me, it'll be, I mean, if I could get into Knoxville, it's probably Knoxville. Baby's coming the week of Indy. Orlando should be like post-baby, I think. So, pretty much anything post Child is
Orlando's right before Indy.
Oh, Orlando's before. Okay, so that mm-hmm. might be on the table then.
April, all right, early April.
I'll have to talk to the old ball and chain and see what we can come up with. So
yes, so I'm going to be preparing for San Antonio. Riley's not here. He's also going to be at San Antonio, and Full Grip's going to be at San Antonio. So, you know, I always like going to events where Full Grip's going to be there. It's a lot of fun traveling with the shop. I mean, since Natalie works the events with Full Grip, she gets a room, obviously. I get to just stay with my wife. So that's a great deal for me. All I got to do is pay to get there. So so I pay for my own flight, and that's it. Got the room squared away. And, you know, and it's always fun. I love having a home base at the events. It just, I feel so proud, honestly, of the shop, of Full Grip as a, you know, as a vendor. Having them there, having the team there, you know, makes me feel like I have a home base, right? Which is, like, really cool.
And a place you can hide.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah.
No, I mean, that's legitimate, right? I mean, that's not, I'm not saying that, you know, tongue in cheek. That's like a legitimate thing, right? Where it's like, I don't want to have people come up to me every round. How's your record? How you doing?
Sometimes,
you know, there's
just that
kind of like limitation, right? Of like, you know, being the micro celebrity in the niche community that you are, of, I just want to relax, take it easy. I have this space that I can go to that I can just kind of let my guard down and
chill out. I mean, it's comfortable. It's comfortable. Yeah. I can go, and especially if I just had like a tough round or something,
right?
Like, you know, I'm just trying to like go listen to my AirPods and like just kind of, you know,
zone out for a bit.
Yeah, and just be in my own head for a minute. It can get really tough at tournaments to do everything, you know, to do everything that I need to do. But that, I will say, that is something that, I mean, I absolutely loved about LAIC. LAIC was just such a joy getting to meet everybody. I mean, it was awesome. I didn't think that there would be that many people who knew what Tricky Jim was in South America. I was wrong. I was extremely wrong. It owned. I mean, it just rocked. Yeah. The amount of people, there were people who just like, you know, I'm meeting you for the first time and they're coming straight in with the hug, dude. Like it was so sick. No handshake, no nothing. Just like, come here, buddy. it freaking rocked. Yeah. That was cool. And, I'm really happy to have Full Grip there, and it should be a lot of fun, but got to figure out what to play.
Yes, we do. And we'll talk about that after we thank our sponsor, Manscaped. Manscaped is the presenting sponsor of the Tag Team Pokemon podcast. It's absolutely been an amazing partnership with them throughout the years. And we have just so many products that we love from Manscaped, whether it's the boxers or the lawnmower or the ear and nose hair trimmer. I mean, they have a wide variety of products for your men's grooming needs. Even things that you maybe wouldn't initially think about Manscaped having, things like their, you know, various scents. They have, you know, different colognes. They have their shampoos and conditioners and their body washes and things like this. All great products, all things that I have used personally and haven't, you know, would recommend to anyone that's looking maybe for a Christmas gift or something special for a loved one in their life.
You want to keep yourself fresh and groomed, make sure to check out manscaped.com. Use code TAGTEAM for 20% off your order. That's right. 1/5 of your order chopped right off. Thanks to this partnership with Tag Team Podcast. That is manscaped.com, code TAGTEAM, and you'll get free shipping.
Absolutely. So make sure to check them out. Helps support the cast here. And, you know, I'll help your sport. Support yourself, you know, make yourself small, clean, look clean, feel clean, fresh. Yeah, it's all good stuff. Check out manscaped.com. Use code tag team at checkout, 20% off plus free shipping. Thanks so much to Manscaped for sponsoring the cast. So back to the topic you were just talking about. What do we play? What have you been experimenting with? Because I have still been like rocking the Maradon train, but I will have, you know, the caveat there. Of I have not played a game of competitive Pokemon. No challenge, cup, regional, you know, international. No competitive play since Toronto. I have been fiending to play. That's not because I haven't wanted to play, but it's because, you know, things just haven't lined up schedule-wise, or we've been out of town, or the cup randomly changed the time that they were starting. But I digress. I'll probably bring that up a few more times, because that's, again, I think that's a whole topic to itself. But I've been, like, really wanting to play. You've obviously been playing every day.
Yeah.
Tell me how it's been going.
So, I felt a little... been feeling a little lost at sea. You know, found myself doing weird things like playing Lost Box Charizard and just on stream just grinding Lost Box games.
You were liking, you know, that, though.
Well, it's,
I feel like last week you posted in the Discord that you were liking that deck.
Yeah, I did. Radiant Charizard is a heck of an attacker. It's just really good. But, you know, I don't know that it's... yeah, I don't know that it's the strongest choice for a tournament, but I think it's a fine one. It's in a fine spot. But I do think that the three strongest decks in the format are Maridon, Gardevoir, and Charizard. And I think it's very much, you know, those are like kind of the three big ones. And if you're not, you know, clicking with any one of those three, it can be easy to kind of feel like you're just kind of awash, or like, where are you going? What are you doing? Right? Those are the three that I feel like are the big ones. And it does feel a little bit triangular in that I think that Gardevoir has the slight edge on Charizard. I think Charizard has the slight edge on Maridon, and Maridon has the slight edge on Gardevoir. And I kind of very much see it that way. I think decks like Lost Zone, Giratina feel like they're a notch below. Any sort of Lost Zone variant feels like it's a slight notch below, in that, you know, Charizard could be tough if they play Jirachi. Any deck that plays a Jirachi could just be tough, you know, and any of those stage two decks can just play one. And then you have to deal with, like, a turn one Iron Hands from Maridon, right. Your deck just might not be able to... There's almost no way to make a Lost Box deck that could just 100% respond to a turn one Iron Hands. You just can't guarantee it. You just can't. And so, like, that's always a threat. Just like you can't make a Maridon deck that's going to guarantee a turn one Iron Hands. I mean, you can't.
Right.
But right. It feels bad. Just, you know, with something that looks so simple, you see the Maridon player just, you know, tandem unit for the guy, electric generator. Here it is, and you're like, oh, man, that was tough, huh?
That was something.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it just happened so fast. It's very demoralizing to lose that way.
Sure.
It is. So that doesn't feel great. And then, you know, you got your Snorlax decks, which you could play. Those are like kind of another X-Factor deck. Maybe they're kind of like on the same plane, I feel like, as the Lost Box decks. But they get stronger the less you respect them. So if, you know, the field is mostly Charizard and none of the Charizard decks are respecting the Snorlax deck, Snorlax deck can certainly sneak up there and, you know, and nab a win. A deck that I've kind of been liking today, like the Clough Electro deck. That deck's fun.
We're that cooking. Deck
is fun, bro.
We got the curry, bro. Oh. We're cooking.
Deck is fun. And I say... I'm enjoying myself playing that deck. I think Entei Valiant doesn't feel as reliable. Weirdly, it's like if you want to play like kind of a quick rush deck, you know, Maridon's like a quick rush deck. Clough Electrode's a quick rush deck. You know, and Clough Electrode kind of occupies a similar space as Maridon in that it's like a fast kind of get to the punch first kind of deck, except it has a slightly favorable Maridon matchup. You know, it kind of...
Sure.
Doesn't have maybe the best Gardevoir matchup. You can win, but it's not great. You got like a pretty close Charizard matchup. You got a solid Maridon matchup. And that's kind of like the core of the deck. You know?
So, are you seriously considering Clough?
I bought two electrodes today. I'm about $10 considering it. I'm out 10 bucks on two electrode Vs.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm at least Clough curious.
Yeah, well, you don't want to be buying those the bling if you're not you know, if you're not really considering. So, is there an art rare cloth?
Yes.
There is?
I think so.
I
don't know if it's the right one. There is, but I don't know if it's the right one.
Okay. Because I'm
figuring it out right. No, it's not the right one. There is an art rare cloth. It's the wrong one, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. Sad. Yeah, Pokemon has the, if you're listening, anyone at TPCI, you have the opportunity to do the funniest thing of all time and which print some like shiny cloth or, you know, art rare cloth. But, okay, if you're seriously thinking about it, I'll ask the follow-up question then.
Sure.
What about the deck or your list do you think makes it a better play than it has been in the past? Because I think you've looked at a lot of, you know, tournament results, either online or, you know, at regionals. And, like, maybe you've seen the cloth throughout the rounds, like, be at the upper tables, but it never has top eighted, or I mean, to my knowledge, hasn't top 16. Like, where
low
are
representation,
we at?
Dog, low cloth. Representation.
Okay, so okay, so that's, I mean, that's an argument.
It's
right?
valid,
that's
because
argument.
It was
that's
the same thing
argument.
With Maridon, right? It's just
yeah,
like,
totally. I'm not discounting it because nobody's played it, but I would expect they're of the people that do play it. And you can, you know, you can obviously tell me I'm wrong here. It seems like a deck, you know, kind of similar to Maridon, where it's like a lower skill ceiling. And so you'd expect the players that pick it up to, like, be able to play it largely optimally off the rip. So why haven't we seen any of those players, you know, make it to the top tables,
well,
winning online tournaments? Like, what about the list or the meta makes it a little bit better right now?
It top four, I think Maridon's prevalence, right? And like the more popular Maridon is, the better Cloth will do, right? That's kind of the big thing, because Cloth's worst matchups, Gardevoir. Maridon helps to like kind of nudge Gardevoir out a little bit. And Cloth, you know, has a favorable matchup in Maridon. So that's kind of your wager with Cloth, right? Is that like I might be able to squeak a win against a Guardy. Like, maybe I can go 1-1 if I play 2, right? But, like, I have a slight edge on maybe Charizard. I have a slight edge on Maridon. I can beat Mew V Max. Like, that's fine if you just play the play Spiritomb. And you're just like, yeah, I'm just going to be a single prizer, play Spiritomb, and just kind of hope for the best. Spiritomb also helps for a Snorlax. So you can definitely beat Snorlax Stall with Cloth as well. Just kind of put the Spiritomb down. Run them off the board by taking one-hit KOs on every single Pokemon they put out, you know, really quickly. And that can really, you know, put a lot of pressure on Snorlax.
Sure.
So it doesn't – it honestly just feels better than I expected it to feel playing it. I really just want to play a single prize deck. I do, but, like, Lost Box is just so cringe. Like, I want to play something like Night March, man. You know, like, I want to play something
cool.
That just –
yeah.
I want to play something, that doesn't stink, though. So not United Wings. Like,
right.
Like, I want to play a respectable single prize deck.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Well, let's see.
I hear you.
Cloth Electrode, it won a 95-player online tournament. All Out Blitzel. All Out Blitzel. Also top forward a late night this week with it. There's a multiple 100-player online tournament.
So it sounds like you... Okay.
All Out Blitzel was in my Twitch chat today, chatting me up about it. And they're like,
I was
going to
say, it sounds like you have your collaborator.
Well, it's just this guy that I've never met.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And
well, I mean,
listen. If by collaboration you mean I am taking their list and enjoying it, then sure, that's collaboration.
Well, you guys can talk about the list, right? Like, it's actually one of the
things. No, I've only ever
this
talked
is one
to them
the things,
that they've been in my Twitch chat. That's it.
This is one of the things that I think players should be more willing to do, because I think a lot of players out there are willing to just give free advice. And it's the same thing that Jesse and I, predominantly Jesse, but we did with Sajin.
Jesse is in people's DMs.
It's just like, what's the worst they could say? Like, screw off, or like they don't respond to you or whatever. But I think, you know, he's had a pretty good success rate of like, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? Like, just to random people that have good results online or that have good results in, you know, in-person tournaments. Like, he just has a knack for going out and asking. And I think more players could do that.
Jesse may find that harder to do the better he gets.
That's true. That is true. I mean, he's had a season thus far that stacks up to any player.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And the more people see Jesse as a serious threat in their DMs and not just, you know,
a random dude.
Some dude, that what I'm saying is that could get more difficult, right?
And so we need a, what you're saying is we need some kind of like undercover. A mole. Where's we need Brady back.
What the heck?
We need Otto back, bro.
Dude, that's messed up. But yeah, I mean, like, I won't do that. I usually don't do that out of respect for other testing groups, you know? Like, I wouldn't want somebody coming trying to, like, dig for info from our testing group, so I'm, like, not going to do that to other people's testing groups. I think there is...
Well,
there
but
is...
I feel like it's a little bit... So, I'll let you finish. I feel like it's a little bit different with, you know, a tournament result, right? Like, you... Mm-hmm. Sajan got top 32, and so asking him about his result... was a little bit different than like preemptively, like, you know,
what
trying
playing
to
this weekend.
Gather.
But...
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And the thing is, like, and we were very thankful for All Out Blitzel, because like as soon as All Out Blitzel like popped in the chat, you know, I was playing their list on stream, you know, and then they popped into the chat and it's like, oh, hi, congratulations on your recent success. I got three questions, you know, and it's like, as long as you'll enter, I am like, you know, I would love, you know, any information that you're willing to divulge if you're chilling here, you know, and feel sure. like chatting, but I totally understand if you also don't like, I get it 100%,
totally.
You know, if you'd rather,
totally.
If you'd rather not, because I'm not, you know, especially, you know, All Out Blitzel did say in the chat, like, they're considering Cloth Electrode for San Antonio. So it's like, okay, this is like, you're considering this play, you know? So when I'm asking you about XYZ cards and the card differences between your late night list and your, you know, your tournament winning list, you know, I understand if you want to keep that information to yourself or if you're kind of like, you know, I get it, you know, because there is so much information out there in the Pokemon TCG right now, and it is all so readily available that any sort of marginal edge you can give yourself on the person, you know, next to you, I was gonna, you know, could potentially be a difference maker. So, like, you know, so I'm not gonna fault anybody for keeping that stuff close to their chest.
Yeah, totally. I saw Cloth Electrode. That is really fun.
It is. I don't know if it's real, but at least it's real enough that I'm going to bring electrodes with me.
What do you think your win-loss rate was, you know, over the course of the day? I don't know. You played it today? So
yeah.
What would you say?
Well, I think for me, I ranked up with it. You know, like, I went from 600 to 700.
It's got to be good.
I mean, like, it was good. At least better than bad. was, you know.
Sure.
So that's not, and I don't, you know, I don't take the ranking too seriously online, but more what it just like, it felt good to be piloting. Yep. And, there are some decks and matchups that didn't feel as good to be piloting, that I've played lately. And, you know, just, I feel like with the mental space that I'm at right now, and I do feel like a little bit jaded by the stage two jet decks and the rare candy situation. I just want to play something fast and aggressive. I feel like maybe I'm not as dialed into Maridon right now just because I'm not. I feel like Charizard's really popular and that matchup really stinks. It's just not great. And it's just not... And it's not that you can't win it. It just doesn't feel good. And I do feel like Charizard's just a big top three deck and it... You know, and then you're dealing with Maridon mirrors. I'd rather play anything else outside of the big three. That's the kind of player that I am. That's why I picked up Maridon in the first place. And now that Maridon is a big three deck, I'm much less likely to run it.
I ran Maridon before it was cool.
We did.
Before it was like 20%.
We did.
Of a meta. Yeah.
We did.
It's crazy to think. Crazy
I
to
know,
think. Okay.
Now, yeah, now it's time. Yeah, it's time for me to move on.
Yeah, it's time to.
I'm a rolling stone, JW.
Boy, aren't you? Yep, that's right. So, okay, so yeah, you bring up Charizard. That's probably the deck that, like, if I was going to a major tournament, that I would strongly consider. I think the matchup spread for Charizard right now is pretty strong. I think it's just a good, solid deck. It beats a lot of things out there. I mean, again, we've talked so long about the, you know, the checkmates that Charizard can set up, and
yeah.
I don't see a ton of threats out there right now in the meta, so I'd be curious to hear your take on Charizard.
Charizard's like that deck in my mind. I mean, it's a deck that casuals can pick up and win games with. It's yeah. a deck that your most competitive and sweaty players will pick up and not second guess bringing to a major event. You've got Robin Schulz, top four, Gdansk with it, you know, literally a world champion, bringing Charizard. You know, you've got Azul, you know, top eight in regionals with Charizard and very willing to give that a spin at major events. And, you know, having roomed with Azul and his group at LAIC, I know that was their second play. It was between Charizard and Baxcalibur. And I think that they chose Baxcalibur because they felt like its Charizard matchup was strong. And they respected Charizard, right? So, it's I think Charizard is very much top three deck, but is like a very serious deck that your good players and your casual players will consider alike. It's got room to outmaneuver your opponents with it, but then it's easy enough to kind of just set up a big guy and go boom. That there's some of that to enjoy as well. In some ways, it feels like the Arceus Duraludon of this format to me, and that's something that I've kind of maintained. You know, you can think of that as a good thing or a bad thing. Some people really liked Arceus Duraludon. I didn't. And it feels that way to me, in that I'm just kind of like setting up a big guy, dealing some damage to the active, and saying, I hope you can't deal with this, you know, while I disrupt right. your hand at the end of the game.
Yep. Yep. Not a bad strategy.
It is certainly not.
At all. So, yeah, I don't know. It just like that just is the deck that's calling to me. Like, mm-hmm. I don't see myself at a major. I don't see myself ever moving away from Maridon, because you actually talk about the mirror, and I find that's been one of my biggest strengths. I feel like
people I liked it at the beginning of the format. I liked it at the beginning of the format, but now like everybody's on the same list playing a vacuum and playing paths. It's like, it feels very like, did you get that fast attack? Did you find your vacuum when you needed it? It's just like, okay, oh, you did? Okay, cool. Oh, yeah, you got that path? Oh, it's stuck. Oh, okay. You know, it feels a little bit like that, which is fine, but it's like, it does feel like it's kind of like at an end game state where it's like you can't leverage, you're not going to be able to leverage a list too much, and you're not going to be able to leverage your knowledge that you do have on the mirror as much as you could in the early days of the mirror. Like, you sure. definitely, you were leveraging way more knowledge. Like, that first regional where Maridon was, like, you know, umpteen percent, like, yeah, you were leveraging a lot, you know, because it was people's, we'd been playing it for over a month, and there were people who just picked it up.
Yep.
That has it was very much diminished. Yeah.
It was a great time. Yeah. Had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're at a point now where people are asking if Maridon's the best deck in format. Like, it's like that now.
Bro, it's like that?
It's like that.
We've done it. My boy. He's all grown up.
Crazy.
okay, so then where does that leave? And this you played to a major tournament. Maybe I don't want to bring it up, but it's Gardevoir. So where does that leave Gardevoir here in this format? Because you're saying this triumvirate of Charizard, Maridon, Gardevoir. But do you kind of feel like Gardevoir is like slipping? Like, does it not really, like, to me, Maridon and Charizard are like, those are the decks, and then you also have Gardevoir. Like, I've kind of flipped a bit in how I perceive Gardevoir in this format, just given the context coming into this format. I felt like Gardevoir was in that upper tier, that high tier of decks, and you know, maybe at the top of the high tier of decks. But now, as we've kind of contextualize the metagame, more players are gravitating towards Maridon and Charizard. Like, do you feel like Gardevoir is slipping down a little bit?
I mean, what? Just because it didn't top 8 Gdansk? Like,
no, I'm just wondering, like, generally, like, your thoughts.
It won Brisbane, you know.
Sure.
It, yeah. So, I still consider Gardevoir very much like an S tier threat. I, in a lot of ways, think that Gardevoir is, you know, very much contending for best deck in format. It has, you know, in a perfect world, I feel like Gardevoir does the most messed up stuff and is capable of the most messed up stuff in a game.
It does some freaky stuff, bro.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Gardevoir
draws
does
way
some
too many cards.
Stuff.
It accelerates way too much energy.
Yeah.
It hits one hit KOs with single prizers. It's messed up. I mean, it's a messed up deck, right? You can counter catcher, hand disrupt, knock out whoever you want. You can snipe. You have it all. I feel like in a lot of ways it's the perfect deck. But there are inconsistencies that come with it just being like a stage 2 deck. And unlike Charizard, Charizard is a stage 2 deck where you get out one and it's like, that's a whole board state right there with one Charizard, right? Gardevoir, I'm going to need at least like 3 of those.
Like, yeah.
I'm gonna need like a Curlia, and then I'm also going to need a Gardevoir EX, and then I'm also going to need a little the Shining Arcana Gardevoir, and then I'm going to need to get another one up real quick as soon as the other one goes down. So it's like I'm going to need a lot more pieces going on than the Charizard is. So Charizard is a lower maintenance stage 2 deck than Gardevoir. Gardevoir, higher maintenance, but I mean the potential is as high as it gets. So that's kind of how I see them. And then Maridon is the, oh, I'm coming in hot, mm-hmm. Yup, and going to try and mess up your game plan with a nice turn 1 Iron Hands, right?
Yep, yep. So. Yep. But it feels so good to get that turn 1, man.
Oh, it does.
That's just like...
Oh, it does. Lights out, baby. Lights out.
I just feel like I reach like a Nirvana state every time.
Yeah, so those are my thoughts.
Yeah, that's sick. I mean, there's certainly more things that we could discuss tonight, but I do feel like that's a pretty good kind of rounding out of how we're feeling right now at the meta. There weren't any major tournaments last weekend, and so, you know, there's still some more that we can kind of discuss and parse through, and as you ramp up your testing for San Antonio, I mean, I'm here to help too, you know. You can always ping me like, hey JW, you want to hop on the Discord, man, and like run some games? I'll be like, sure, man. I just put Harper down, I got a night to myself, and we can play some.
What better way to spend it than on the sweet, sweet Pokemon trading card game live?
My favorite game ever created. So yeah, that is going to do it for this episode, everybody. Thank you all so much for listening. Andrew, why don't you tell the people where they can find us?
You can find us at Tag Team Podcast, at Tag Team Podcast on the X application. Gosh, I'm losing my voice right now. And you can find JW at Real John Walter. You can find myself at EnjoyFriend, ENJOY Friends. And the podcast exists on, you know, all the platforms that have podcasts, and probably where you're listening to
YouTube.
It right now.
And potentially and even potentially YouTube. Potentially even YouTube right now.
And potentially even YouTube if I'm on top of my stuff, you know, which last week I was not.
Then that's okay. That we all get busy. But thank you all so much for listening. We hope that this brought a smile to your day and made your work day or leisure day that much better. And if it did, please make sure to leave a review on the podcasting platform that you're listening on. It really helps us out a lot, truly. And we get to kind of hear from fans, which is always a good ego boost, potentially, if you say nice things. So please make sure to do that.
As if he needs one.
Listen. I'm truly humble under God. Truly humble.
Amen, brother.
Under God.
Okay. Amen, brother.
I'm living that thug life.
Truly humble under God. Fantastic.
So that's going to do it for the podcast today. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
See ya.